Do you lie awake at night pondering life's big questions? Is there a God? What is the meaning of life? How would one do an hour-long sports show without ever actually talking about sport? If yes, we can help you answer 33% of these pressing questions. All you have to do is check out The Starting Block on tavshow.com, Periscope, Stream Me, or YouTube, Wednesday mornings at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also download the podcast on iTunes just by searching for The Starting Block in the store or at thestartingblock.podbean.com. Or if you're really desperate for answers, why not check us out on Twitter at The Starting Block. No K at the end, don't forget to drop that K. Enlightenment is now only a click away.
Public Radio's loss is tavshow.com's gain. You're listening to The Starting Block.
Hey, welcome to The Starting Block for another week. You've got myself, Greeno, and I'm joined by a man who has advised me a little bit earlier on that he's going to leave this show, start a comic book podcast because of the work culture. My co-captain Damo, how are we, sir?
Very good, Greeno. Good evening to you. Good evening to all the boys and girls and enabled other kin status folk. Out there in the interwebs, Greeno, on board the listenership. And as always, Greeno, the blockheads.
In their millions.
Tuning in right round the world. Now, what is this reference to?
Okay, this reference is in relation to the director of the new Joker movie, who Todd Phillips, who was most famous for the Hangover movies.
Oh, right. And so a good pedigree.
Yeah. So obviously they're flogging the shit out of this thing with the press. So in one of his 8,000 interviews, they're like, oh, so this is a bit of a change for you, Todd. You've gone from, you know, Tigers and Mike Tyson to, you know, a real deep, dark Joker movie. What happened? He goes, well, I had to step away from comedy because I got sick of all the criticism for any jokes we made.
Really?
In this woke culture. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to go do the serious stuff.
And does he not realize the amount of criticism that the Joker movie is now getting? Because it's funny you bring this up because a lot of people have been talking about this and I've got a video keyed up for my show, but I don't know if I'll get to it or not. The parents of school shootings, Greeno, are now complaining that this movie is going to inspire white nationalist terrorism and mass shootings. And so there are people out there now who want to ban this movie because the stereotypical angry incel, do you know what an incel is?
Not particularly.
Involuntary celibate.
No.
Okay, so that's a term that gets thrown around for white guys who can't smash the puss, Greeno.
Okay. Is that the technical term?
That's the technical term. That's a scientific term.
Yeah.
So white guys who can't get laid, can't get married,
they
become angry school shooters, apparently.
Okay.
This is what's put out there. And they reckon that this Joker movie is going to inspire more shootings by angry young white men.
Let's take it. Oh, we'll do this. I better play the sound effect because it seems appropriate. Okay. To me, as a young teenage boy, no puss.
You didn't smash the puss?
There was no smashing of puss. I was the ladies avoided me at all costs. I watched a lot of films, including violent films. No mass murder on my list.
You didn't become a mass murderer?
Didn't know.
So you're daring to suggest that some of the arguments coming out of these woke publications, Greeno.
Yeah.
You're saying that they may not necessarily have a direct correlation established there.
They might want to do a tad bit more fact-checking.
The thing that I love about all this, I think it's ridiculous as well, just like you. But I love the fact that we are now at the stage of being so woke that we need to ban art.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you remember, like, wasn't that long ago, Greeno, when things like, say, Piss Christ came out?
Piss Christ.
So that was, apparently it was a work of art, Greeno.
Yeah.
It was a cross with Jesus on it in a jar of human urine.
Okay.
And a lot of people said, well, I kind of find that offensive. And they're like, fuck you can't ban art. The same people who were saying, fuck you can't ban art, now want to ban the Joker movie because apparently they think that it's going to anger up the blood of involuntarily celibate young white men and inspire them to do mass terrorism.
Mm.
Like, we have gone completely fucking batshit crazy.
Thing is, though,
I'm going to, and batshit is appropriate because it's a Batman movie. I am going to go see this fucking thing 10 times.
Just to balance it out.
Well, just to see if I might come out of there one day and go, you know what? I really think I need to engage in like mass genocide now.
The Joker film is loving it because this is all free publicity.
Absolutely.
The filmmaker, I'm a big fan of over the years, Kevin Smith, who did like a lot of,
Chasing Amy,
Dogma, Clerks, his main thing, is he talks about all the death threats he got when he released Dogma.
Really?
Because it's a movie kind of, not so much taking the piss out of Christianity, but just putting a comedic slant on it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're disparaging the religion. And he goes, what? I don't know. I'm getting death threats. There's a rubber poop monster in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a comedy film.
That's
calm
right.
Down.
Exactly.
Like, relax. But
it's not real,
he
guys.
He was saying that they got, when they were, like all the people that were protesting, it ended up drumming in more people. So he was happy. He's like, I got my 30 million sales.
Well, it's like they say, any publicity is good publicity. There's a famous scene. Is it George Carlin who plays the preacher?
Yeah, the priest. Yeah.
Buddy Christ. Yeah. Now people were saying that, oh, this is offensive to Christianity. And I always, when I watched it, I thought, well, no, isn't that a mock of the bad, like money grubbing Christian preachers?
Exactly.
It's not slamming all Christianity. It's making fun of the kinds of like the Hillsong characters.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Jesus loves this big building we got here. Jesus would really love if you bought a cup of coffee for $8 at the front desk there because, geez, God praise Jesus and your money. You know, that's more what it's like.
That's what's taking a piss
out. We need to bring the kids in.
Exactly.
Kids have a lot of disposable income.
Yeah.
Jesus loves a big spender.
I don't know how we got onto that.
Is the starting block.
It is the starting block. Let's talk the big business demo.
Well, you know why we got onto that? Because it's a lot better than talking about that fucking grand final I went to on the weekend.
We're going to start on a positive note, then we're going to get to the AFL grand final.
We'll do the autopsy.
The autopsy there. Raiders in the GF, 25 long fucking years, man.
Well done.
I've been waiting for 25 years.
The Canberra Raiders.
For the Raiders to finally get there. They got the win over South, 16-10. We had to work for it.
Yep.
We had to work for it. It was, we were down to 12 men
really?
For the final 10 minutes of the game with Chan sent for 10 in the bin. I thought Souths were going to get kissed on the dick for the second straight week with a 12-man advantage.
The Bennett effect.
I don't know what was going on there, but unlike Manly, we managed to hold our line and then score a try while we were down to 12 men.
Brilliant.
Got over the top. Tries to big Josh Papali, man of the match. Croker and Whiten were our three try scorers. Mm. Also, the three longest-serving Raiders. So it seemed appropriate that that's what got us there into the final. We did it with 12 for the last 10 minutes. 56% of the possession was the Rabbits. They had most of the ball.
Mm.
And we still managed to get over the line all in the back of our defense. We're not a defensively known team over the last couple of years. This year, tightened up the D. Grand final, baby.
That's it. You know what they say, Greeno? They say offense wins matches, but defense wins premierships.
Correct.
So are we going to do a sorry book for Sticky?
If we win, yeah.
So that's what it takes to win a grand final.
Mate, he's been terrible for so many years that you need to fucking win a pre. Making the grand final doesn't, it's a consolation prize.
Nadine in the chat says, # up the milk.
Up the, that's what it is.
Canberra milk. Have we got the Canberra milk kid?
We are.
We need to play the Canberra milk kid.
A Canberra milk kid.
I'm playing this for the next week.
Absolutely, non-stop.
Non-stop
my rotation. Can I just say though, Greeno, one thing, I'll do it on this
one. That's it.
One guy that I'm really happy for, like Jack Whiten, fair enough, Papali, fair enough, Croker.
Jared Croker.
How old's Jared Croker now? He's got to be like
29.
29 only.
Yeah.
So he was playing State of Origin like 10 years ago.
He didn't get picked for State of Origin.
No, he was like always like a reserve. He played one State of
Origin.
He hasn't
played a State of Origin.
I'm sure he has.
I guarantee you he hasn't.
One State of Origin.
He hasn't played a State of Origin game.
Well, he was always like an emergency and like he was on
the
fringe.
He was always on the fringe, but he couldn't defend, so they'd never pick him.
They never picked him for State of Origin. But he's been like the top point scorer at the Raiders, what, like 7 years or something? Six or 7 years?
He's the second highest point scorer of all time behind Cameron Smith now.
Really?
Yeah. With like plenty more years in the bank to overtake Cameron.
There you go. But he'll never get the same plaudits as Cameron Smith.
No, of course not. But he's just been a try. He'll never look to leave the club.
He loves the Raiders.
Loves the Raiders.
Because he's had offers throughout his career to go somewhere else.
Of course he has.
If you can get a try-scoring centre who can kick goals, like that's a pretty high commodity in rugby league. Like everybody wants one.
And consistent. Never has a bad game.
Consistent point scorer. So good on.
100% with you, man. I was so happy when I saw it. I was saying to the wife, I'm like, look, I still remember when he missed. It was a preliminary final, only about 8 years back when he was in his first or second year,
yep.
where he missed a conversion which would have taken it to extra time. And that was in Camp. That can't be easy.
Can't be easy.
Terry can't be easy, Italian great. that was when he was in his peak, right? And I'm like, we might have a chance here. And he missed a conversion. And I can see the heartbreak on his face. I still remember it.
Mm.
So it was nice to see him be able to celebrate when he's making the GF.
Absolutely.
I throughout the game, I was, let's just say, I went a little bit Brett Finch.
Oh,
I couldn't stop moving. I was fidgeting. I was touching. I was rubbing.
You weren't taking meth?
There was
you?
No meth involved. It was all a footy high. But at the same time, I couldn't stop fidgeting, man. My wife
I could tell
me,
you were pumped.
Going, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, she's like, I've never seen it. I'm jumping up and down. When we scored, when Papali went over, I literally ran through my house.
Really?
Literally, in excitement.
Yes!
The kids are asleep. I put them to bed
not
like
for long.
I put them to bed an hour and a half early because they want them interrupting the game.
You didn't want to share the moment with the kids.
They were up at 3 a.m. because I put them to bed so early. But fuck it. It was worth it.
Fantastic.
It was good. Now,
well done, Raids.
On the other side, a tough task for the Raiders this week with playing the Roosters, who are very short price favourites.
Yep.
The line is very akin to what the Richmond line was last week.
What, 1 to 39?
We're pretty, no, seen, yeah, 1 to 30.
39 and a half.
$1.30 they're paying, I think. Here's
really? $1.30?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm a scat man. I think it's worth putting a little something on the Raiders. If the Roosters are $1.30, it's a two-horse race.
Raiders is $3.15, I think. $3.15? Something like that, yeah.
That's a good price, I would have thought.
It's a good price considering we only lost to the Roosters by 2 points, I think it was, earlier in the season.
They've had an amazing final series.
Yeah.
The Raiders.
Roosters did look good last week, though. Their defense, same thing. Just hard-nosed defense. Melbourne could have come over the top and couldn't get through.
So I tell you what, that might be a better bet. Like total points, maybe less than 20.
I think so. Defensively, I think it's going to be a tight one.
Might be like a 10-6 or something at the end of the game.
Here's a fun stat, man, for you, Damo. Cooper Cronk, this is his last game on Sunday. He's retiring at the end of the year.
Yep.
He's played in more grand finals than he's missed in his 16 years. He's played in 9 grand finals out of 16 seasons. That's an insane stat.
Yeah, but only 5 of them were legitimate.
Legit, yeah. No, we will take out those seasons.
Thanks for that boat, Greg, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm pumped, man. Sunday, I'm going along to the game. I'll be there.
Yep.
I'll be there early. I'm just going to...
Soak it up.
Soak it all up, indulge. You just said to me earlier this week, oh, man, just enjoy all the bullshit media that's around.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think I've liked about 8 billion Raiders tweets this week.
Absolutely.
I went down to NRL Fan Fest today, and there was only fucking Broncos players there, so I'm out of here. How was that?
Why was there Broncos players at the Sydney Fan Fest?
Because it goes for 3 days, so they obviously don't want they're sending random players to keep the kids entertained.
Gotcha.
And the Broncos got nothing better to do this week, so they're down there.
Well, it's surprising for the Broncos. I would have thought they would have been indulging in some adult sodas, you know, up in Brisbane by now. Like, probably would have been laid out over the last previous week, Greeno.
Yeah. Maybe
hitting the pokies.
Yeah, that's it. Enjoying a slap. Machines. Well, there was in Martin Place. There are plenty of pubs around for Navi hit.
Good.
Some other big news this week is Sean Fenton retiring.
Really?
So he will be part of the grand final parade. And I was saying a little bit earlier, I'm going to get chills with the 55,000 Raiders fans that are going to be there.
Yep.
They'll be cheering when Sean Fenton's name's announced in the retirees.
So he left the Raiders, right?
Yeah. Got pushed out of the Raiders.
Got
yep.
pushed out by Ricky.
He went to North Queensland and then he went to the Broncos this year.
Okay.
So
the great Sean Fenton. We did a whole video on Sean Fenton.
We did.
Indestructible. I think it's still on our YouTube page. That hasn't been updated for about a year.
If not longer.
Yeah.
So in celebration of the Raiders making the GF demo, I've been drinking nothing but Midori Illusions all week.
Good.
Just nothing but green.
So you're primed.
I'm primed.
You're ready to go. Well, maybe I can give you a little bit of advice going into the grand final, yep. Greener. My approach to the AFL grand final, where I went down to Melbourne, watched our boys, the Giants, get absolutely eviscerated.
We're at demo story time. Let me hit the button.
I like stories about pinatas.
So I went down to Melbourne to watch the Giants get absolutely smashed in the grand final. Mm. By 89 points, the third largest losing margin of all time.
Second lowest score all time, I believe.
Second lowest. The lowest, incidentally, is by Richmond.
Was it Richmond, was it?
And the lowest score was 13 points. Now, my wife, after the game, was being sure to tell Richmond fans, hey, you know, don't worry, Richmond still has the lowest score in the grand final.
Yeah.
And I was saying, yes, but babe, the winning team in that grand final scored 25 points.
Yeah.
So it was 25-13.
You're putting facts in the way of a good burn.
We were 114-25.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
Hey.
It's about the margin.
If we can do another quick. to last week where you said, if you're going to lose, I just hope we lose big because I can't deal with the stress.
Well, actually,
by the end of the first quarter, there was no stress.
No, the first quarter,
quarter was tight.
The first quarter, we were probably the better team, I think, for most of it. Let in two late goals and that changed the momentum.
Yeah.
But after that, it was terrible. Like, I was happy to be like sort of 4 or 5 goals down. I was expecting a regulation defeat. Like, I thought we'd lose by 3 or 4 goals. Mm. And I thought it would be, the Giants were brave, but they just didn't have the class. Richmond were just too good on the day. And they'd kind of be in front all day, but without really kicking on.
Yeah.
But just be safely in front.
Well, no, they kicked on.
Oh, they kicked on. They kicked on like Farlap, Green. Yeah. Farlap down the straight.
Yeah.
And then the Giants started playing a different game.
Mm.
So they went away from their game plan. And maybe that's what Richmond can do to you. Like, they get in your head. They started hand passing around to try and find space. And they were just simple mistakes.
Couldn't get it out of Richmond's half.
Just kicking it into the corridor to Richmond players. Yeah. And you're like, why are you even kicking it there?
Mm.
Just hug the boundary, man. We need to lock this ball down.
Yeah.
Like, by the time we got halfway through the third quarter, I was sitting with other Giants fans. We were all just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
We were cracking jokes by the end of it because, like, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is insanely bad.
Yeah.
This is a really poor performance. And a lot of people are saying, oh, they'll bounce back, they'll bounce back.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. Now, I'd like to think that they'll bounce back.
See, I'm in that boat. I think they will bounce back.
But it's a 50-50.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Hang on.
No, only your point.
The Adelaide Crows in 2017 lost a grand final to Richmond.
Yeah.
And they didn't lose as badly as we lost this one. It was pretty bad. But not as bad.
Yeah.
The Adelaide Crows now, it's now trade season, right? Mm. They're losing about half a dozen players. They never recovered. It scarred that team.
Yep.
They never made finals again, even though they were good enough to make the grand final. Everyone said, oh, they'll be back again next year.
Yeah.
Nowhere to be seen.
See, the way I look at it is GWS made the GF, missing, what, three or four of their best players?
Two of the best players, Cornelio and Ward. But you could argue that Davis was underdone.
Well, that's my next point. Yeah, Davis, who shouldn't have played, he was ruled out on Friday night but then chose to play.
Yep.
Whitfield could barely move.
Yep.
Couldn't use half his body because he was still recovering from the appendix surgery.
Matt DeBoer, who's our tagger, who plays on the best player in the opposition to stop them from getting the ball. He was injured for the last 3 weeks. Apparently nobody knew. Yeah. So
the way I'm looking at it
is, they were beaten and bruised.
They kind of played their GF the week before last.
Yep.
And
Richmond were fresh.
And Richmond just 12-game winning streak absolutely smashed them.
Oh, one more little quick stat man for you, Greeno, if you want.
I'm a stat man.
I haven't got it exactly because it was a few days ago where I read this, but apparently, the last 10 times the Giants have played on the MCG have been over the space of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And in the run-up to the finals, Greeno, the Tigers played on the MCG 9 out of their last 10 games. So we've played 10 games at the MCG over 4 years. They played 10 games on the MCG in less than half a season.
It's a good stat, man.
Yeah.
Some things.
Hey, if you want to win the grand final, you've got to play on the MCG.
You've got to win on the MCG. It's how it works. A couple of things that I found amusing during the AFLG. Firstly, obviously the song was a big hit last week.
Yeah, the big sound.
Big, big sound. They're looking at...
in hindsight, maybe that was
slightly changing a few of the words. So I think the line, they'll never surrender, they'll fight till the end. They're adding until the end of the first quarter instead. just
brutal.
In honour of the GF.
That's harsh.
But Daniel Rioli...
Still raw, Greeno. Still raw.
Danny Rioli, he said that he was dedicating the goal that he kicked in the GF to his cousin Willie, as if he passed away, instead of, failing a drug test and switching
multiple
a sample.
Multiple times.
But no, good on him dedicating it to the drug cheat.
He's so brave.
Well, not the drug cheat.
Willie Rioli. Alleged.
No, stoner. He tested positive to weed.
Ah, right. See, I don't even have a problem with weed.
No,
can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, if you want.
Players should be allowed to smoke weed.
I don't know. Well, it's an illegal drug.
Well, it's an illegal drug, right. But I don't think it's the kind of thing.
Not unless you're in Canberra.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone full legal now, hasn't it, in Canberra?
In Canberra.
Isn't it funny how it goes full legal where all the politicians and public servants live, but for the rest of us, nah, you're a crime. That's a crime where you are.
You're
a crook.
I liked it that it also happened. They legalized the green the week that everything was doing Raiders sausages. Green milk.
So you've got to go down to have yourself a hash snag, Greeno.
If the Raiders win, mate.
Hash snags for Greeno.
Going down to Canberra.
I'm done.
Another thing, Toby Green's dad got into the action by headbutting a female cop in the stands.
Yeah.
I feel a bit bad there for Toby because apparently it's an estranged dad.
Yeah, he's estranged from his dad. And if you just hear that story, now I don't want to be rushing to judgment here.
Yeah.
But let's look at some stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
Now, stereotypes aren't always wrong.
Mm.
Oftentimes, they point to some underlying truth. Now, would it be... He took his mum to the Brownlow medals, Toby.
Yeah.
Right? He loves his mum. Yeah. And they all say he's a big mummy's boy.
Yeah.
I wonder if dad might have been, you know, a bit of the abusive alcoholic type. You know what I mean?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
You wonder.
Well, why? He's estranged, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to his dad. Mm. And dad gets arrested at the game for getting drunk and headbutting a female police officer.
Yeah.
Now, that would indicate to me...
There better be a joke coming to the end of this.
No, I'm just saying... Well, because I knew what would happen. Like, so all of the commentary now is like, oh, I see where he gets it from. Mm. I see where he gets it from. Maybe he probably had... They reckon he had a pretty hard upbringing
when
he was a kid. And there might be some, sort of rage issues there.
Could be.
Associated. But when you see a story like that, and then you see how close he is to his mum, I just wonder, what happened, in the past for this guy.
Could be some other things under there.
Yeah.
Let's get to more exciting topics, Damo. Did anything get done?
Getting it done, baby.
My favourite segment, my favourite part of the AFL season,
yeah,
AFL trade week.
It's the off-season.
It's the off-season, but at the same time, it means we're talking AFL Trade Talk Radio.
Trade Talk Radio.
And I already heard whispers, I saw tweets, and I just had to ask, is it going to get done?
What's it going to take to get this deal done?
Yeah.
Now, we need to get something done here. Essendon want to get it done. Hawthorn want to get it done. Richmond definitely want to get it done, Greeno, because they've been getting it done for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
For those who are unaware, there is a trade period in the AFL, which is about 3 weeks after the end of the season.
Yeah.
And there's a radio station that pops up for those 3 weeks just for the trade period, and then it goes away again.
Starts at 7 a.m., goes till 7 p.m.
That's right, trade radio.
Yeah.
It's 12 hours a day. And basically, I think the guys do an amazing job on this radio station.
It's unbelievable.
Because they have to rehash and regurgitate the same, sort of tidbit rumor news constantly over and over again, 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because, each host just rehashes all the stories of the day and then starts going. So they interview player managers. They interview, people who work with clubs and stuff. And the questions are always, they always go like this. Now, Greeno, you're involved with the GWS Giants. Now, we know that Mummy might be retiring. We're not sure. And we hear you're in the market for another ruckman. Sam Jacobs from Adelaide has, made himself eligible to come to the Giants. What's it going to take for you to get this deal done? And that's every question.
Every question.
How are we going to get it done?
12 hours a day.
So I can tell you, if you want a little bit of an update, we're getting Sam Jacobs from the Adelaide Crows to the Giants.
Yeah.
Jono Patton, who's had 3 knee reconstructions, Giants player, he's probably going to go to Hawthorn.
He's going to Hawks, I saw that. Yeah.
Which, to be fair, it's good luck, mate. Good luck to you. Because his whole time at the Giants, I think about 7 years, has been 3.5 of those years he's been on the operating table.
Yeah.
So he might want a fresh start somewhere else.
Not quite getting it done.
Friend and foe alike, join me, Varun Prasad, every week on the Common Discourse Weekly Roundup podcast. You can follow the show on @TCDTweet on Twitter and Periscope. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, StreamMe, iTunes, or your preferred podcast platform. If you like what you hear, or you would like to express your raging discontent, please consider leaving us a review. The Common Discourse, independent political opinion, thought, and analysis for the people, by the people.
Now with less than 3% sport content, it's The Starting Block on TAVShow.com.
Yep, welcome back to The Block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do so would be the little blue bird, Greeno, at The Starting Block, one word, drop the K at the end, follow me at Boogie Bumper. I think we're going to have to redress this less than 3% sport content claim that we're falsely advertising.
Well, I didn't expect both our teams to make the GF and when we could get all excited, and then we was on the back of the Ashes. And so if anyone in the chat, if you know one of the 15 people that just walked out as soon as we started talking
bring
sport,
them back.
Can you just let them know we're about to start the bullshit?
Yeah,
come on back.
We're about to talk shit that has nothing to do with sports.
Yeah.
And make bad, really bad jokes
really
about
bad
it.
Bad jokes. We've got Unity Day coming up.
Unity Day.
Before we get to that, you had a story. We're passionate about the homeless here on this show.
Yeah, we are.
More so the observing than helping.
Yeah.
But, that's all part of it. I'm raising awareness.
You don't know where they've been, Greeno.
Yeah.
I don't want them to touch me.
They don't always have sanitizer on me.
Yeah.
You made an an interesting observation about differences between Sydney homeless and Melbourne homeless in your foray down to the MCG last week.
You know, there's a lot of rivalry traditionally between Sydney and Melbourne, Greeno. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love my city. I love Sydney.
Yeah.
And I loved it even more when I was down there when I was observing the homeless.
Okay.
You know, I work at night in the city, Greeno, mm-hmm. in the CBD. So I get to observe our homeless. And
Do you consider that peak homeless hours, the middle of the night? Or do you think that's downtime anyway? So you don't get to see them in their natural habitat.
Their
natural state.
Well, I have seen plenty of them sort of during daylight hours as well. And one thing that stands out for me, and I rate every homeless population of every major city around the world up mm-hmm. against ours any day of the week.
Okay.
I think ours are pretty much the best. They're very respectful.
Yeah.
So they kind of stick to their own areas, Greeno. They don't harass you. They don't harangue you. They're not crazy people who chase you down the road screaming things.
You haven't spent much time in Circular Quay then, have you?
Well, I can go one better. So we were down in Melbourne, and within 15 minutes of arriving at our hotel, the baby bride went out for a cigarette out the front, and she comes back in. She said, there's a homeless guy out there.
There's mistake number one.
Yep.
As soon as you're out there bunging a dart, you're in trouble.
Oh, they're attracted like flies to shit.
It's like a, sonar warning system, like the dog whistle goes out and smoker.
Up they come. So she comes back in. She said, there's a homeless guy out there. He was trying to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what was he saying? And she's like, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. She's like, yeah. And I said, oh, okay. And then she felt a bit scared because he was kind of all up in her grill, getting right in her face. And I said, oh, okay. So I grabbed the cigarettes. And, you know, I'm not a tough guy, Greeno, but, you know.
At 6'4", you look like a tough guy.
I suppose. Yeah. So I walk out there and I light up my cigarette. He comes up and tries to start talking to me. I just stared him right in the eyes.
Yeah.
And he went, okay, see you later. just walked away.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, taking care of that. But then the next day we were walking to a pre-game drink screener. Mm-hmm. And we get to a crossing at a major intersection just off Flinders Street there.
Yeah.
And a homeless guy is coming in the opposite
direction.
I like stories about piñatas.
Sure. And a homeless guy was coming in the opposite direction. And this is when it really struck me.
If I can interrupt, five people have returned.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back.
So this is when it really struck me that the Sydney homeless population is far better behaved than the Melbourne homeless population. Mm. It's broad daylight.
Yeah.
We're talking about 10 o'clock in the morning. So we're walking across the crossing. This guy is coming in the opposite direction. He looks at myself and the baby bride, and then in the middle of the intersection, Greeno, hand goes down the front of the pants. The pants were already around the ankles and just the underwear on. The hand goes down the front of the underwear and then proceeds to relieve himself in a sexual way.
10 in the morning.
In the middle of the intersection as he spotted us and we're walking towards him.
Yeah.
So he just thought, and there's cars parked there just in front of everybody. And that's when I... So, of course, as you would, I said to the wife, I think we might take this left.
Yeah.
I think we might leave this guy where he is. And that's when it dawned on me that the Melbourne homeless population is just out of control.
Have a look at yourself.
Compared to Sydney, yeah.
Give yourself
an uppercut, Melbourne homeless boy.
Yeah. Pick up your game.
You can do better.
That's an interesting one. Was it? It was the arousal, basically because of your arrival, or do you reckon there was arousal beforehand?
I think it might have been.
It just happened to coincide.
I think it might have just been a general arousal, coupled with a mild form of psychosis, perhaps.
I like the fact it was mid intersection though. Didn't go a quiet corner.
No,
it was kind of like if we're gonna do it.
No, he wanted to stop traffic.
Oh yeah.
So, we got the signal to walk, and he walked and then stopped halfway and then started whacking it.
Hey, everyone likes to celebrate their grand final day in different ways.
Mm.
That was his choice.
Yeah.
Well, then run with it.
Enjoy the festivities, mate.
Yeah. Let's get off that kind of topic and get to where we seem to have focused our show for more recent weeks.
Mm.
Food. Before we get to the clip, I just want to do a...
You dick!
On the way home last week, I hadn't had any dinner, so I thought, do the traditional KFC stop, smash down as many nuggets as humanly possible.
About 20?
Well, they don't do the 24 for 10 bucks anymore.
Oh, really?
That's just every bi-monthly special.
They get you hooked.
They get you in. So I said, well, how many packs of nuggets are there? They're like, you can get 10.
10 nuggets
for $10. So now I need to double, I'm going to get 20. But anyway, so I just assumed, right? So when I order the nuggets, I'm going to get the sauces that would normally come with a nugget.
Yep.
A barbecue sauce.
Sweet and sour.
Well, here's the thing, right? When I do nuggets, when nugget dipping, it's all barbecue sauce. I didn't think I'd have to be specific.
Really?
And go, these are the sauces I want.
I go a mustard sauce.
Mustard sauce, that's fine if you wish.
Yep.
But my problem is, like, I pull in the bag and I'm like, what the fuck is this? There were 4 sweet and sour sauces. And that was it.
No variety.
No option. So I didn't realize I got to point out, hey, dickhead, give me the barbecue sauce. I want the fucking sweet and sour sauce. This isn't a spring roll, mate. I've got a fucking nuggets.
Did you go back around?
I didn't, because by that stage I was hungry and I'm like, I'm just going to eat them dry.
Really?
I'd eat them dry. Dick move. More food segment. What do we got? We got coming up next? We need a food sound effect, I think, given this is becoming a regular segment.
Well, okay. How about the sound effect of, would you say, children crying, vaginas opening, Greeno, birthing sounds? How about that? How about the sound of hot placenta hitting the floor?
That could work.
In a hamburger joint.
We'll workshop it.
Okay. Let me get this. Oh, hang on. Got to fix the audio there. All right, let's rock and roll. Come on now.
Craving for many of the customers ordering it. It's a last effort.
Today we had another lady just eat one. She's 39 weeks.
Ready to go.
It's called the labor inducer. It was born out of...
can you pause for a minute? So they're claiming that this particular hamburger is going to induce labor.
No, women are... It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Women are going to this hamburger joint to eat this burger so they will go into labor and give birth.
All right, my next question is... So they just pointed out a lady went into labor last week after eating this hamburger in the store at 39 weeks. Now, what's the regular gestation period of a baby before you normally go into labor?
I don't know, 10 years?
39 weeks.
39 weeks, is it?
So do you think maybe there might be a coincidence between the labor-inducing burgers and people rocking up as they're pretty much ready to pop?
Do you think it might just be a big coincidence?
I think it might be coincidence.
I wonder how many people are giving birth to actual humans instead of violent diarrhea after consuming this fucking monstrosity.
Let's have a look at it.
The kitchen of the Suburban, when a very pregnant restaurant co-owner was testing new recipes to enter for a burger competition. This was the winner.
She ate the whole thing, and then, midnight, she went into labor.
Oh, wait. So she went into labor 7 hours after eating a hamburger. But we'll take credit.
It's labor the labor-inducer, Greeno.
Yeah.
Owner Cindy Bursa became a grandma, and the burger became known as the labor inducer.
Oh, what a story, Greg.
Something that caught the attention of Katie Engler when she saw the labor inducer featured as burger of the month.
It was my due date. I was very done being pregnant.
She and her husband had a...
So she had her baby on the due date.
So, you know...
And when it had a hamburger.
They say childbirth is a miracle, Greeno.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're expecting your first child, like, the world is a wonderful place. You have a glow, apparently.
Yeah.
And these typical, stereotypical Americans are like, you know, I'm very close to giving birth. I need to shove that down my gob as quickly as possible. I need that cholesterol injection stat. Yeah.
That'll fix it.
That'll fix it.
You may as well
light up a cigarette.
Yeah, might as well. That's enough of that. Are we getting any other food stories?
No, that's it.
That's it. What are the other ones? Oh, I'll get the, I don't know the other ones. All right, let's go to Stefan's poll. Let's get onto the regular stuff.
Sure.
Side note, a bit of kimono pool.
Yep.
I got sick of my daughter wasting all my paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through like a ream a week because she draws like one little thing on a bit of paper and then just puts it on the ground. Then I fucking throw it out.
Yep.
But she draws like 98 drawings a day. I got sick of having to buy a ream of reflex paper. So I started using it for our printouts.
Yes.
But then now I can see like pictures of the earth in the back of my notes. And
a little artistic flair little to the artistic rundown.
Yeah, exactly. So,
fantastic.
You know, there's a little bit of pagey drawing.
Well done.
Stefan's poll from last week. So Stefan, after standing back from his duties as pollster last week, and said, fuck it, I'm going to be the football expert.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously, I'm guessing Ohio State lost this week because he didn't send through any
didn't
football
stats. Didn't send through
stats,
any results, eh?
But the poll was back, so I'm happy.
Good.
Either way.
Good to know.
This week's poll. Given the descriptions of footy styles described by host Damo, it led me to believe that footy is and can be important in every relationship.
Mm.
What intrigues you the most? What is your style? So we had the grind, wet is a factor, got 15%. Congestion at the balls was 15%.
He's a fucking freak.
Chaos.
This is very creative, though.
This is very creative. This is probably my favorite poll.
This is the best one so far.
Favorite poll of the year. Chaos, quick and dirty, 23%.
Yep.
But the winner, For what intrigues you most, what is your style of play? Loose open play.
Loose open play. Well done.
Off the ball. Well done there, Stefan. Thank you for the poll,
fantastic
as always,
poll.
Sir. Okay, let's get to the important business here, Damo.
Climate change?
Unity. Oh, we don't, yeah. We'll do that and then we'll do Unity Day.
Okay. So Greta Thunberg was making news last week, Greeno.
She's on The Masked Singer, right?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. Or the Real Dirty Dancing. You've been checking out The Real Dirty Dancing?
Of course not. What a stupid question. No,
you're a big fan of Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Reality shows.
I've never seen the original.
Reality show. I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen bits.
Bits.
I've seen Baby in the Corner.
The important bits.
I've seen the
juicy bits.
So I'm going to go off topic for a sec. So they got this show on Channel 7 at the moment called The Real Dirty Dancing.
Real Dirty Dancing.
They take some washed up.
Which incidentally is the fake Dirty Dancing.
The fake Dirty Dancing, because it ruins the movie. But they take some Z-grade celebrities that need a bit of cash,
and
then they do the dance routines of Dirty Dancing, and it's reenacting the movie.
Apparently, former newsreader Jessica Rowe got the gig of Baby after she flashed her abs at an audition, Greeno.
That's correct.
And I thought, well, that's a high benchmark.
Yeah, that's all you need to do.
You got abs, you're in.
You're in. Welcome aboard. Now, what I want to know, because the bits of the movie I haven't seen all of it, but seen most of it, who's the chick that's getting knocked up who then can't dance?
Right.
Steph Rice is my pick.
Stephanie Rice.
Jessica Rose, Baby. Steph Rice will be the chick knocked up who can't dance.
What about Lay Down Sally? What was her name again?
Sally Robinson.
Sally Robinson. That's the one.
Well, she's not on the show, though. Steph Rice is.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I love her. I won't hear a bad word about Steph Rice.
That's what I'm saying. She's going to be the one who has to withdraw from the dance contest. Yeah. Because she's knocked up.
She's fantastic.
Sorry, get back to the chick off The Masked Singer.
Yeah, so the Greta Thunberg, she's a 16-year-old upstart from Sweden, Greeno, who went to the UN to lecture everybody about climate change. But I feel like...
Are you getting a bit of a sense? What was that phrase you used about the people going to the Joker movies earlier? What was the thing? The celibate people?
Well, Greta might inspire people to commit mass shootings. I'm not sure. Involuntary celibate.
I'm sensing a bit of involuntary celibacy here. So, anyway.
She is 16, though, to be fair.
Probably
she's
was.
Got plenty of time.
Probably a good idea
plenty
then.
Plenty of time.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But imagine, though, afterwards, it would be like, can we turn the lights off? And it's like, fuck, man, I'm going to fall over if I have to go to the back. I'm not living by candlelight for the rest of my life, Greta.
That's it.
Get a grip. How are you going to cook dinner with no stove?
That's it. Here's a question for you without notice again. Sorry, I know you want to get to this video. Actually, get to the video, then I'll ask my question.
Okay. So I feel like oftentimes, Greeno, the emphasis can be lost in moments like this.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of differences between different cultures, Greeno.
Mm-hmm.
Different cultures. So somebody has, very conveniently applied an Australian filter to Greta Thunberg's speech at the UN. So it can make sense for normal people like you and me.
Because we can understand kind of the point she's trying to get. Okay, let's see how it goes.
Because climate change is a very complex, very big issue, Greta.
Yeah.
So somebody, like I said, Australian filter over the top of Greta Thunberg. So now you and I can
Can we credit who actually created it, or is this just shared from someone else?
Somebody else shared it.
Okay.
Okay, so let's have a listen to If Greta Thunberg Was an Australian.
Our place is fucked. What have you cunts done here? Just went outside for a smoke. And you fucking trashed the place. Yeah, it wasn't me, mate. It wasn't me. Well, it was fucking one of yous. Somebody set fire to the bloody rivers and the trees. And you've emptied the fridge. Yeah, no, pull your fucking head in, champ. It was Damo who set fire to the river. Get fucked, Steve. We needed that fucking river. That's where we jet ski. And the ocean, just like my fridge, is empty. We can't fish on Thursday without fish or beers. Yeah, that's true. Can't fish without beers. Steve, if you don't shut the fuck up, I will end you. Yeah, that's what I fucking thought, Steve. Now listen up, cunts. Dave, get the Dexies out. Yew! Let's clean this place up.
There you go.
There you go.
Well done.
I'll eat it up. Is hair biodegradable? Because here's the thing, right? So I took my son for his first haircut a couple of weeks back.
Oh, congratulations.
And
did he scream like a bitch?
He was an absolute champion. Didn't,
really?
Didn't cry one bit.
Good on
he
him.
He sat still. Now, here's the thing. Because it's his first haircut, so I want to keep some of his hair. And did the same thing with my daughter when she had her first haircut. So we got a nice little bag and it's there. I got to put it into a container. But then I realized, I'm like, hey, we've had, like, my daughter's hair for, like, 2.5 years. And it's still the exact same as when it was there. So what happens with all the hair? Is this a pollution issue? Do we need to eradicate hair?
Well, I think sometimes when they dig up mummies and shit, they've still got hair.
So where's all this hair going?
I don't know.
Can we ask Greta?
It's a very good question.
We need to look into this.
Yeah, what would she know?
Yundi Day Demo. This segment has gone off the rails.
This whole show is off the rails.
We started it kind of serious with footy talk, and then I don't know what's going on now.
No, this is terrible.
Uni Day Demo. Troy has sent me an update. Because last week, obviously, we were in negotiations with Bruce Samerson.
Bruce Samerson, yes. The real estate agent.
Real estate agent. Bruce was trying to sell some land. We were like, no, man, we need you in the death cage match.
Sorry, just a comment in the chat, Greeno. Jennifer Briggs says, hair lasts for, keep the hair. You got to put it in the baby book. Would you put that next to the wrapper from the hamburger that you ate to induce the labor?
You could, yeah.
Maybe
it's all sentimental.
Maybe put a little bit of the bacon that you ate in the baby
just next
book.
Next to it? Yeah. Is that biodegradable? We'll have a look. Yeah. Troy was hoping to have some big Uni Day news this week, but it's not quite across the line, unfortunately. So in a nutshell, he's got several big major sponsors on board this year.
Excellent. That's what we need. Money.
That's it. And the death match is shaping up to be one for the ages. So okay. He's still in discussions with Bruce and a mystery opponent.
Ooh.
So I think Bruce's reservations are the fact that he didn't want to take on the Blakeney twins solo. He goes, this needs to be a tag match.
A lot of people have expressed that concern.
Troy is looking into a mystery opponent for the Blake twins to join up there with Bruce Samerson.
Yep.
He's going to have a recording of the phone conversation he had with Bruce Samerson next week.
Really?
For us to play. He called him on that number that we just played last
Fantastic.
Week.
Fantastic.
Now,
did you tell Bruce that he was being recorded? Because that's a key thing. We're going to have to run this past the legal department at TAVshow.com.
As Troy points out, that's what's known as a tease. Like when they're saying, coming up in the next 15 minutes, you'll hear Beyonce for the 12th time. That's a tease.
Yep.
Now, in good news, Damo, you'll be happy with this.
Good.
Peter Etcetera. Is in.
Yes, we got him.
Now, he's agreed to terms.
It's like a George Bush moment on that aircraft carrier. We got him.
Paperwork's been written up. The proviso is still waiting final sign-off, but I'm thinking it'll get over the line.
Okay.
As long as we can provide him space food sticks and a jar of Tang in his dressing room, because he's old school, as well as the steak and chips afterwards.
It's a very specific demand, space food sticks and Tang.
Now, in some more good news, he's also bringing along, for that price, he's bringing along his backing band, the Yada Yadas. Now, word is they're Mexican immigrants, so they don't need feeding.
Is that-
It's great work, Troy. I like it.
Thank
now, I raised one concern with Troy in relation to the deal.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I think we need to speak to James because I think space food sticks and the jars of Tang, sweet. Mm-hmm. That's inside.
We can budget. Handle that.
We can handle that.
I mean, I'll just jump in my time machine and go back to the early 90s when space food sticks were available and grab a pack.
That's fine.
Yeah. Sort that out.
But. I said, look, I'm concerned that because Uni Day falls on a public holiday, the steak and chips, it won't be no $10 Tuesday. It's going to be full cost.
Yeah, full cost gourmet
style for Peter, et cetera. And then if he wants to add a sauce on top, you know, fuck, who knows what the price could be.
Maybe he wants, I mean, we hear that he has, you know, specific tastes, Greeno. He might want some kind of a chutney.
He might.
You know, what the hell are we going to do there?
Does he want a side salad? Like, who knows? So I said,
is he an iceberg or a rocket man?
I think he's more an iceberg.
Rocket man. Yeah,
different singer, but we'll go with it.
No, but he's going to pay credit to Elton John. Like,
and a marsh.
The Elton John tribute act.
And a marsh, my pet, et cetera.
To sing it, rocket man. About his own lunch.
So I told Troy, I said, look, man, the steak and chips, I'm going to have to run by James R. And so he said, look, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Dorothy Boyd's retarded kid can chew on the bone when he finishes it, if that helps. So that
I don't know if we're allowing Dorothy Kidd's retarded son, the 32-year-old retarded son who lives at the basement at TAV HQ playing with a sliggy all day. I don't know if we're going to let him in.
No, no, no. We're going to post him the bone.
Oh, we post it. Overnight freight.
No, no, no. We can't afford overnight.
No.
It has international delivery.
Might be tough to get through quarantine. They've got very strict quarantine laws in Hawaii, Greta.
The thing that concerns me, though, if we've got a bone, that means we're paying for a T-bone.
Someone might have to smuggle the bone in for the young lad.
Up the coit.
Up the coit. Don't wash it off, though, because you'll lose the beef flavour.
So we're now feeding Dorothy Boyd's retarded son. That's been been smuggled up a coin.
Well, a T-bone would be appropriate because the long pointy bit obviously goes into the hole. But then you have the flat part so you can sit at the correct angle in your airplane chair, Greta. It's like a little stand.
All right, we're going to class this show up by BE's Earth Report. Where the first headline is Bridget the Midget is arrested.
Wind, water,
heart, go planet!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
The Earth Report Greeno for this week coming from BE from the UK. Bridget the Midget arrested. Little person porn star Bridget Powers, who goes by Bridget the Midget in her movies, got in a nasty fight that ended with her in handcuffs and her boyfriend with a stab wound in the leg. Of course it would be the leg, because leg. That's the highest that she could reach.
More calf area.
It got him in the calf, yeah. Your Honour. Law enforcement stated that they were called to a home in Vegas early last weekend after a neighbour heard breaking glass and Bridget screaming, quote, "I will fuck you up."
She's classy lass.
Angry little midget, isn't she?
Classy lass.
She's an angry little elf. When officers arrived, they made contact with Powers and discovered she and her boyfriend had just finished a vicious spat, Greeno. Police say Powers stabbed him in the leg during the fight and he was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. It's still unclear if his injury is below or above the knee.
Yeah.
So there's Bridget there on the screen there, Greeno. I just have one question. Would you?
No.
Would you smash?
No.
Smash or pass?
Oh, I'll pass, thanks.
You'll pass?
Yeah.
You might not have a choice. If she's holding you at knife point.
Vote in the chat. Yeah. Smash or pass. Cockfishing day, mate.
Maybe we'll set her up with Dorothy Boyd's retarded son.
Right up his alley.
I know somebody who's willing to smuggle a bone up their coit.
Cockfishing, Damo.
Cockfishing. Have you heard of cockfishing, Greg?
I can't say I have.
Well, you're about to. Cockfishing is the latest phenomenon to enter the world of online dating, Greeno. The Metro UK has reported that a cockfish is closely related to a catfish because they use the internet to misrepresent who they are to potential friends or dates. That's an interesting way to make friends on the internet, by the way. Hi, my name's Greeno. Would you like to see my penis? Can we be friends? Just friends.
Yeah.
I don't want anything more out of this. While a catfish will alter their entire identity, a cockfish only changes one thing, the size of their penis. So it's like a deep fake for the dick, Greeno.
Yeah, it seems so.
Okay, so you send an unsolicited or solicited dick pic to somebody who could potentially be your new best friend.
Yeah.
Or special friend, if you want to put it that way. And then you digitally alter the size of your penis to make it look bigger than it is.
So you chuck it on a Microsoft WordPad and, you know, weave a bit of magic.
See, this is where it's very good to have a midget girlfriend because you don't need any of those special effects.
Yeah.
Like even the smallest penis will look big in certain surroundings, Greeno. Certain environments. It can occur through photo editing, posing next to items that would make their penis look bigger, such as a midget porn star.
Yep.
Or use of a special lens. With the news that the iPhone 11 will allow users to exaggerate the size of things with its wide-angle lenses, cockfishing looks set to stay.
Here's the thing I'd do, right? I generally go the opposite. I'd minimise the size of the penis.
Yeah, so they're pleasantly surprised.
Like, oh, hang on a sec, this is huge comparatively.
That's right.
To what I was expecting.
And see, then you'll get a date that's like, well, I don't care if he has a small dick or not. That's the kind of girl you want.
Exactly.
Because they're going to be really easy to please. Yeah. I don't care if it's the size of a thimble.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I've got great news for you.
That's it.
You dirty fesshole, Greeno. People are using a Twitter account at Fesshole to get some very dark confessions off their chest. I haven't seen this. I'm going to have to check this out. It is widely accepted holding on to secrets is bad for your health, and any annoying do-gooder will tell you that the truth makes the world a better place. But what if the truth is the worst thing you've ever done? What if, say, the truth is a couch stain created from an ill-advised anal sex session in the front room of your family home, which inadvertently led to your dog being put down? Now, that's a story I'd need to hear. Or perhaps you inserted a carrot into your anus to cure your curiosity, only to have the family eat it for dinner that night. Greeno?
Why would you put it back in the fridge?
I think we just found our smuggler.
Mm.
Somebody with experience. If this sounds like you, then you are in luck. Finally, the internet has stepped up to the plate and has created a safe space to absolve you and your fellow cretins of all your sins. Fesshole is a Twitter account which allows people to anonymously confess their darkest secrets through a Google form. A bot then posts the confession online and lets the public decide your fate. There you go, Greeno.
Well done. At Fesshole.
At Fesshole on Twitter.
Sure, some random bullshit being made up there.
I reckon there's some gold to be extracted from all of that, though.
I think so.
We might have to come back next week with a bit of fesshole confessions.
Fesshole action. Now, how many hours till B's in the studio?
Good question. Let me have a look here. There he is.
76 days, 22 hours, 10 minutes, and 24 seconds.
We're getting down to the business end of the countdown now, aren't we?
I like it. I like
76 days left.
Sub 70. It's going to feel like just...
It's less than 3 months.
Just around the corner.
That's all right. Have we decided what we're going to do when BE is actually in the studio?
I might take the week off.
Take the week off. Give it the Billy Ocean treatment.
That's it. Just put the feet up.
Yeah. Some opioids and vodka.
Yeah.
On the lounge at Boogie's place.
I might still be drinking Midori Illusions. Who knows?
You might be, yeah, for the entire off season.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take you should take the next day off. I'll take the night off.
Yeah.
We'll entertain BE.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some beers. We'll have a laugh.
I think jokes aside, that's a good idea.
Do a special edition of the block.
We'll just keep on bullshitting.
Shoot the shit.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll try to keep it a little tighter than our last impromptu block session.
The mistake we made was...
Not having a plan.
Well, not having a plan and starting the show after 14 hours of drinking already. Now, I think if we start drinking as the show starts...
That's right.
We'll be okay.
And then when we get a little bit loose by the second hour, we can say, okay, guys, it's starting to get a bit risky. It's time to go.
That's the show.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, let's do it.
Damo, MLB playoff season is here. First game today, and it was a fucking cracker.
Excellent.
Absolute cracking match between the Washington Nationals and also the... Who did they play? I watched the game literally before I came.
Wow, it's all those illusions.
The illusions have gone straight to my head. They beat Milwaukee. Sorry, the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Brewers.
Now, the Brewers were up 3-1 going into the bottom of the eighth. They brought on arguably the best closer in the game in Josh Hader.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been used extensively this year, and to even get them in the postseason, they won like 17 of their last 18 games.
Right.
Just to make the wild card game. So they were all burnt out. Washington, though, has a history of blowing important elimination games. They have never won a playoff series since returning to Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
How long is that?
20
years?
The last game they won in a winner-take-all postseason game?
I'm a scat man.
Walter Johnson, Game 7, 1924, was the last time they won an elimination game.
Jesus.
World Series.
That's a hurdle.
Big win there for Washington. And, it was done on a big one. Juan Soto is 20 years of age.
Mm.
He hit the winning runs, drove in three. He's only 20, so in the post-game celebrations of the beer and champagne, he's not legally allowed to drink any of it.
Really?
Yeah.
What is with America and their crazy beer drinking?
I don't know, man.
Speaking of beer, Greeno.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up because I have a hot little item here. A new brewery, Greeno, a craft brewery.
Mm-hmm.
You know those wanky craft breweries?
Oh, yeah.
They've opened an adult-style theme park.
Oh, I had a freaking story, yep.
Right, we need to go there. We need to check this out. Yep. Well, maybe we'll check out the video and then we'll decide whether or not it's the kind of place that we want to visit.
Okay, sounds good.
It's being called an adult theme park. A new super craft brewery is...
If it's an adult theme park, will the midget porn star be there, Greeno?
Maybe.
Should be.
Set to open its doors in Melbourne, proving indie beers a big business. Alan Rascal got a taste.
You little rascal. Story. Alan Rascal, hot on the case, Greeno.
Craft brewing. It's come a long way since brewing a bevy in your back.
Who fucking nominated this guy to do this? Out of all the reporters you could have sent, you sent this guy?
The kind of guy you have to send for this story has to be like a dude like Jono.
Yeah.
With a packet of ciggies on his shoulder under his shirt, Greeno.
Yeah.
Yeah, just here checking out the fucking brew. Sorry, mate. Fucking pardon me. Fuck. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to fucking swear. Just here checking out the fucking brewery. Ah, oh, shit. You know, it needs to be that kind
that
of
guy.
You know, craft beers are getting very popular.
I personally prefer it. Just a nice little Chardonnay, but you know.
I prefer a schnipter of port myself.
Sneaky dabble of beer from time to time. I do appreciate. Fuck off, man.
Yard, welcome to the new world of craft brewing.
It kind of just looks like an indoor pool with a couple of ferns.
Yeah.
This is the new world of craft brewing. It is in an entire warehouse, though.
Craft brewing, Moondog World.
Moondog is in the house
tonight. It's just
a
bar.
I saw a shipping container.
It's a bar.
There's a shipping container, Greeno.
It's a bar with a pool in it.
It's a big pub.
It's a 12,000 square meter venue dubbed an adult theme park, complete with waterfall and lagoon.
Lagoon.
That's not a lagoon. That's a wading pool. That'd be full of vomit and urine before the end of the first day.
You can tell that this is the kind of resort that is dreamed up by the kind of guys who start their own brewing company, though, in Australia. You know what I mean? Like, hey, mate,
Maybe one day we'll open up a fucking beer resort, mate. We'll put out some fucking lawn chairs. We'll have some umbrellas. Have you still got that old shipping container at your property? Yeah, mate. Yeah. We'll bring that in.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking awesome, mate.
Put some pinnies in there.
There's some pinnies. Everyone loves the pinnies, mate.
Less a theme park, more a pub.
Footy, pub, footy, beer, drinky.
Yeah.
Van Buren is one of the owners.
It stemmed from the size of the place, and it was so big that we needed to make sure that there was a lot of different...
It's not a theme park. Where are the rides?
Now, Warnie's on the wall.
Yeah.
There's Warnie. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
Underneath the old chair that looks like it's been picked up from a council pickup.
Yeah, because it has.
Straight out of the 1970s, that one.
Yeah.
And areas and activities and things to do.
We need activities. I
still haven't seen an activity other than pinball yet.
But do you really want activities when you're drinking beer?
A pool table,
I'll take. Dartboard, perhaps.
Dartboard, I'll take.
Pub sports is fine.
A poker table?
Poker table, great. But when I'm drinking, when I'm in the mood for a session, Greeno, I don't want somebody coming up saying, hey, all right, guys, we've got lots of fun activities planned. I'm like, no, my activity I've got planned is sitting here drinking beer and eating peanuts.
That's the activity.
That's why I'm here.
How many beers can I drink in an hour? That's my game.
That's right. I can sit around a fucking lagoon any other day. I don't need this.
Craft brewing is big business. It cost $9 million to create Moondog World.
$9 million.
Yeah, you got jipped, man. That's the guy that should have been doing the reporting.
With the mullet.
With the mullet and the bad beard.
No, Greeno, he's the chef.
I don't want him anywhere near my food.
Where's his hair net?
I don't want that.
Someone get food regulations in there immediately, please.
He's wearing a shirt that doesn't fit him. He hasn't got a hair net.
He hasn't had
a wash in a week and a half.
But he
it
is
already
drunker.
Has another brewery, the company employing more than 100 staff.
When we started out 9 years ago, I guess the...
I do like the name of the beer, Old Mate.
Old Mate. Can I make a point here? Have a look at Dick Hat over here on the left doing the reporting.
Dick Hat.
Hasn't had one Supervise beer.
Oh, look at that.
That's a full schooner.
Shame.
The industry is somewhat in its infancy. And it's just come along leaps and bounds over that period.
And it seems beer lovers' taste for craft brews.
Why does the tap look like a urinal?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Would you want another glass of piss, mate?
No, thank
Absolutely.
You. Yeah, that's asking for trouble.
There you go. In saying all that, we've hacked on a little bit. I'll probably go.
Yeah.
I'll probably check it out.
Check out the lagoon.
I'll probably say, it's fucking great, mate. You got to check it out.
Quickly, Damo, while we're talking MLB, some sad news this week. Jerry DePoto has said that it's going to be a relatively quiet offseason.
Bullshit.
And
I'll believe
case,
it when I see it.
In fact, we don't want to do a hot stove this year.
We're cancelling Hot Stove.
There's no point. If Jerry's not going to be active, I don't want any
crazy
involvement.
Uncle Jerry. He's not so crazy anymore, eh?
Oh, we'll see.
He's calmed down.
We'll see. I think he's just playing ducks and drakes. Yeah. Next thing we know, 40 trades. Now, last thing, Damo. The Super Bowl halftime entertainment has been announced this week. They're getting in early. It's like week four, but they're letting everyone know. J-Lo and Shakira will be the halftime performances. Super. Now,
couldn't we get anyone who's been popular in the last 15 years?
That's gonna be my question. Is the Super Bowl being played in the year 2000?
then we'd have to see Janet Jackson's tit again.
That's it. Go back in YouTube. That's it. Plugs.
Follow Greeno at the starting block one where I drop the K at the end. Follow me at Boogie Bumper. Don't forget to follow our friends at Real Person PLTCS, at ChrisMC44, at YCensored_Greeno, at TAV Show, Fergo on the Freak Pod. And anybody else I might have missed.
That's it. We got Granny Sears before we go?
We do, Granny Sears. So we'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Well, hey, boys. Oh, my goodness. It's been so long. I've been on vacation. Anyhow.
Don't forget, follow Granny Sears.
Yeah, that might help.
Follow Granny Sears.
But three things. Let's see if I can remember. Boogie, I'm sorry your team lost and you went all the way down there to watch them lose. But if you ain't first, you last. Oh, no, that was so mean.
Fuck you, Granny.
I'm sorry, Grandma loves you. Secondly, talking about this ethnic food aisle. Grandma should be
what are
we
talking
so
about
hot,
ethnic
spicy,
food aisle?
So watch my show from today.
Okay.
Thirdly.
And shouldn't Granny Sears be playing on your show then?
That's not happening.
On Twitter. Love you, boys.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. we'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth?
Aloha, James R. here. When I'm not in court defending the boys from the starting block against slander charges...
Alleged!
Yes, yes. Alleged. I'm hosting Trust and Verify with Boogie Bumper every Sunday night at 1 a.m. on TAVshow.com. Join us and all your favorite broadcasters there.
TAVshow.com.
You're listening to The Starting Block on TAVshow.com.